Hello there, we're in the World House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Just shout hallelujah. Just shout hallelujah. It may not move all the mountains, but it has a way of seeing you through the mountains. Is anybody hearing me? Is anybody ready tonight or this morning for an encounter that will change? Lift up your right hand and say, "Hi, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning of encounter. Without a shadow of doubt, I know that as the word of God comes to me, my life will never be the same. Glory of God will sit over me, and my destiny will take a new turn. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's put those hands together and give God praise and celebrate City of David. Hallelujah. Please celebrate City of David once again, if you don't mind. Amen. Just before you take your seat, how do I do this now? Okay, please kindly take your seat. Thank you very much. I apologize for the to and fro. Forgive me. To all of you worshiping online, we'd like to say that we are so excited for the honor and the access to your homes and wherever you are. And we pray that God will come true to you and answer you by fire in Jesus' name. I want you to know that we're in a season in church that is very special to us. Accelerate Conference ended, but as it ended, it sparked off another beginning. God ushered us into a season of what we call post-acceleration prayers. We realize that cars don't just accelerate and stop. When you change your gear from gear 3 to 4, does the car park in your garage? Somebody answer me. By the time car is parking in your garage, the gear is on park, true or false? So you don't accelerate and then go and sleep and go on vacation. Accelerate is because you are about to change gear and you are about to gain momentum. Is anybody hearing me? Which is why God ushered us into taking flight. Because when a plane accelerates, the next thing it does is to take flight. That's why I declared last Sunday and I declare again, you will take flight. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I also want you to know that first week of August, I don't know why they are not putting the exact date here for me, will be our man-to-man conference. Now, it's actually not about men, but powered by men. It's for everyone, male, female, but the men are the ones powering it. It's their vision, it's their itinerary. They are the ones who are literally behind everything, including theme of the conference and everything about the program. But much more than that, the whole idea of the program is to impact our lives, but particularly to cast a fresh vision for the men in the house, the fathers in the house, and generally the men in the house. It's going to be a great time in the presence of God. Architect Ugo Chime is going to be one of our guest speakers. I thought you were going to clap. Also, Roban, the owner of Roban Stores, is going to be one of our guest speakers. And then we're going to be having, to represent the Gen Zs, we're going to be having in this place, John Obidi. And I'm confident that it's a conference that will change our lives for good. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we are still taking flight. Is anybody taking flight with me? Anybody prefers the bus? You prefer the keke? You want to try the boat? Who is taking flight with me this morning? If you are, jump on your feet. Let's do this together as quickly as we can. Amen. I want to beg you to join me on Wednesday for midweek service, and I'll tell you why. There's something I want to speak about in midweek service that I can't talk about on a Sunday morning because of the brevity of time. But much more than that, because it's so concentrated, I want to make sure that I'm not struggling to finish one service and enter another service to say what I want to say. Whilst it's a part of this particular series, It's something very special. And I believe that it has the ability to change your life forever. Amen. So please, whatever your itinerary is, and I know the rains are here, do whatever you can to be on Wednesday, 5 p.m. in the evening. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. Do you have my slides? Do you? You don't have the slides? Yes or no? No. You've given it to them. Okay, so please, Pastor Benjamin said he sent it to someone there. Please, can you just go over there and ensure that it's there? Amen. Deuteronomy 32, 11 to 13. Let's read together now. Two, go. As an eagle stirreth up a nest, fluttereth over a young, spread abroad her wings, taketh them, bears them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Now, what was the result of God leading him, and there was no strange God with him? Verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. Now, can I prophesy to somebody? You will ride on the high places of the earth. Yeah. I told you last Sunday, you can take the car, you can take the bus, you can even take the ship. But there are some of us who would rather fly to Lagos than drive to Lagos. I prophesy to you, you will ride on the high places of the earth. Yeah. What that means is that anywhere you find yourself, you will not be found among the low people of society. I declare you, where kings dine and wine, that's where you will be. Where kings are negotiating deals, that's the table you will sit. I prophesy over you, you will never ever in your life again be among those that they call common people in the name of Jesus. And he says, that he might eat the increase of the fields. Can I prophesy over you, you will eat the increase of the fields? My God, I said you will eat the increase of the fields. He says, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock. The rock represents difficult situation. When others are saying the economy is difficult, he said, you'll be sucking honey out of the rock. Can I prophesy over somebody in the midst of difficulty, you'll be sucking honey? Yeah. I reject that amen. I said, you'll be sucking honey. Yeah. Where they say it is rocky and nobody is cracking it, that's where your honey will be flowing from. Yeah. Let me hear a better amen. Yeah. And he says, and he will suck oil out of the flinty rock. There is, first of all, the high places of the earth. Then there is the increase of the fields. Then there is honey from the rocks. And then oil out of the flinty rock. Can I prophesy over you, oil will flow in your direction? Yeah. I said, oil will flow in your direction. Yeah. Out of flinty, rocky, difficult situations, oil will flow in your direction. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. Speak to our hearts this morning. And let Jesus be exalted. Heal the sick body. Break the bands of oppression. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please sit down like the king that you are. Isaiah 58 verse 14 says, you will delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth. And Isaiah, the same Moses says, it will make you to ride on the same high places of the earth. So both Moses and Isaiah seem to be talking about taking flight. And this morning, I'm going to be speaking still on taking flight, but more precisely, I'll be speaking about something a bit deeper on the mindset of high flyers. Amen. I'm surprised my slide is not there. Are they having a problem? Okay. Praise God. I said, praise God. When we started this year, the Lord spoke to us. It's our year of crowning and maturity. Who remembers that? Please talk to me. Who remembers that? And in a year of crowning, we cannot but speak about enthronement, because the crown simply speaks about enthronement. Notice that the first part of this year, we have concentrated on maturity because it's our year of maturity. But from this July all the way to December, we are shifting gear to speak to you more about the crown. Everybody say the crown. Say enthronement. Say the crown. Say enthronement. So for the next 6 months or thereabouts, our emphasis will be around how you can wear this crown that God spoke to you about since the beginning of the year. Please understand, number one, that anyone who desires to be a blessing to God's kingdom and to humanity is already a candidate for divine sponsorship. Anyone who desires to ever be a blessing, number one, to God's kingdom, and also a blessing to humanity, just by that desire, heaven is under obligation to sponsor you. And sitting before me are people like that. So can I prophesy over you? Heaven will sponsor you. Yeah. I said heaven will sponsor you. Yeah. For the last time, heaven will sponsor you. Yeah. The second thing I want to say is that the race of greatness is going on, but only those who show up can win that race. Only those who show up can win that race. Listen, the only race in life that you will not win is the one that you didn't show up. As long as you dare to show up, you will win the race. Can I declare you will win the race? Yeah. Again, for the last time, you will win the race. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the way God designed life is that, and this takes me to number three. I'm rushing because I know I don't have much of a time and that's where I want to spend time. Are you still there, somebody? Please answer me, are you still there? Yeah. The third thing I want to say is that God uses people to enthrone people. And many kingmakers are not kings. Many of the people God will use to bless you, they don't look like it. Because many kingmakers are not king. But understand that no matter how much you pray, it is a human being God is going to use to bless you. And that is why as we speak on the mindset of high flyers, you want to listen attentively and be able to connect effectively on how you can maximize the help of men. And can I prophesy to you, God will use men for your sake in the name of Jesus. Never despise the gift of men, because men come in very handy as far as destiny is concerned. You know, I was sharing yesterday at the prayer meeting how that, I don't know if I have the time for this now, how that there's something I need from a federal agency, and I've been believing God for a connection to, I don't want to mention name now because of sensitivity, but I needed a connection somewhere in the presidency. I needed a connection. I've called everybody I knew in Abuja, including our pastor. Who knows anybody to this office? Who knows anybody to this office? And he said, well, it doesn't. He tried one or two things, but nothing worked. And then on the day I was traveling, I got to the airport, and a staff of the airline came to me and said, please, sir, can you help me? I have XYZ I want to send to somebody. I took that one. Now I'm about to board my flight. We've done all the checking in. The final check-in before we board the flight, another lady came and said, pastor. I looked at her. I said, how do you know I'm a pastor? You know? And she said, pastor, please help me. I have this traditional clothes, this senators. I have it for my pastor in Atlanta. Can you help me deliver it? In my mind, I'm like, I've helped somebody before. How many people will I help? And this is international flight. You don't want somebody to put cocaine in your luggage and you end up going to jail. I said, okay, no problem. Open the clothes. Let us see everything inside it. She opened it. I put my hand in the pocket to be sure there's nothing inside. I said, okay, let us take photograph together. So in case they catch me and say, you carry something, I said, they will see the photograph as you're handing it over to me. They will know it's not my property. We did the photograph together. I landed. She gave a number to the so-called pastor. Next day, the pastor shows up and, you know, and he's a pastor, so he can talk. And he could talk for Africa. So my own was like, you just came to collect your clothes. Can you just collect the clothes and just go? And the man gave me the story of how he suffered and suffered in Nigeria before he now finally I got a visa. I now finally decided to get to America. Oh my God. And my wife was not helping matters, because my wife was so enjoying it. My wife, as the man is about to run, my wife would go, I have not even talked about this one. If I let me even tell you that one self. I was pinching my wife. I said, Will you stop gingering this man? Cut a long story short. In the middle of all his talk, and he said, And the chief of so and so staff is my son in the Lord. I said, which chief of whatever? And he showed me a photograph. In fact, he picked his phone and started calling. Huh? I said, the person we have been looking for in Sokoto. And I've called all the calls in this world and I couldn't locate the person. He's hiding inside clothes that I delivered to somebody free of charge. And by the time I told him, do you know I've been trying to lay, I need a contact to, he said, Pastor, should I call him right now for you? Cut a long story short, that thing we're looking for, I've made all the calls I know in this world, was hiding in one man that I carried close to give. Is anybody hearing me? Kingmakers don't become king. But if you are sensitive, sometimes they will even come like a problem. But be careful. Is anybody hearing me? I can't hear. Is anybody hearing me? Be careful. Why? Because God will always use people to enthrone you. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, like I said, we are speaking on the mindset of high flyers. And understand that the first thing I want you to note is that every man that God created is a candidate for dominion. And I don't mean every Christian. Every man. Everybody say every man. Every human being that God created is a candidate for dominion. That's the reason why you will notice that one abundant characteristic about all children is that every child has a big dream. Have you ever driven children to school before? As you are driving them, two of them are fighting at the back of the car. That house is my own. Does it happen only to my children? That big hotel is my own. Then I said, no, I'm the one that pointed it first. They start fighting at the back of your car. Come on, does it happen to any other parents apart from me? Listen, take a child to the airport. Ask him after them, what do you want to become? A pilot. Take him to the hospital, a doctor. Are you still there, somebody? The governor visited the local government area and he went with his father. He wants to become a governor. Take him to a church. He likes the preacher. From now on, in fact, all those other ones I said before, forget it. I want to be a pastor now. Are you still there, somebody? Every child has a big dream until life slaps him first time, second time, and the third time, the dream wipes away. And he just settles down for, Pastor, just give me a good job. Local government. If Enugu North can just give me like this, I will thank God till I die. Come on, are you still there, somebody? When life slaps him first time, the second time, the third time, he settles down for survival. He moves away from significance. I want to be a pilot. I want to be a this. I want to be a governor. He just settles down for just, Pastor, under this Tinubu government, if I can just get one federal job, I will thank God till I die. Are you still with me, somebody? That's why people say that adulthood is a scam. Because here you are with all these big dreams until life slap you. By the time you get to 25, as you are entering 30, the second slap comes. By the time you get to 35 and the first slap comes, you see, you're not, in fact, at that point, you're not even, when your prayer for husband is no longer, I want him like, no. Your prayer for husband, God, let it just be a man. After all, Ngozi's husband does not have money, and yet she's enjoying her life. Are you still with me, somebody? I prophesy over you, your dreams will not die. Life will not slap your dreams out of your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the worst thing that will happen to you is to allow economy, government, situation, fuel price, dollar price. Please don't allow these things to affect your dream, I beg you. Because you see, yesterday, some of you who miss the prayers, you miss a lot. Yesterday was one question God asked us. You see, when a man dies, will he live again? If you miss out on your dream in this life, will you have another life to say, okay, God, that other one, it was because of Tinubu, I didn't carry that one out. Now that there's no Tinubu in this new life, let me not know. The Bible, Job said, if a man die, will he live again? When Job realized the answer was no, he said, all the days of my appointed time, I will make sure that I wait until my change comes. I'm not going to allow situation of life, dollar price. You see this dollar price thing? If you follow this thing, you have high blood pressure. Is anybody hearing me? If you want to go with what's going on, economy or no economy, you see, we all have to get to that point. This is our reality, whether you like it or not. But you see, he didn't say it will supply your needs according to the economy of Nigeria. He said according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I prophesy over somebody, over and above the economy, dollar price, fuel price. You see, you will still take your flight. You will still take your flight. Shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
The most embarrassing thing you read in the Bible is that even fallen man can achieve greatness. Fallen man, man who doesn't have Jesus, doesn't speak in tongues, that just because of the DNA God put on his inside, when he said, I'm creating you in my image and likeness, he was saying, I'm creating you in the God class. So this is before he gets born again. Now gets the Holy Ghost and become 2 times more dangerous. Fallen man can achieve greatness even before he meets the Lord. This is one of the things you must settle in your brain. Is anybody hearing me? So here was Cain, Genesis chapter 4, verse 12. He has misbehaved, killed his brother, first murderer in the Bible or in the world. And God looked at him and said, I curse you. From today, you'll be a fugitive and a vagabond. Meaning, you will never have a house. You will never have a permanent address. You will never have a location. By the time they are looking for you in Obiagu, you have moved to Independence. From there, you have moved to Abuja. You are a fugitive and a vagabond. You know what Cain said? He said, God, that punishment is too much for me. He saw Osama Bin Laden killed 5,000 people. They didn't punish him like this. Are you still there, somebody? Terrorists use bomb and detonate an entire village. It's only one person I kill. This punishment is too much for me. Gentlemen, a man who kills somebody is arguing with God. And then God says, okay, I remove that mark so that people will not just be killing you anyhow when they see you on the road. The next thing that man did, the scripture declares that number one, he married a wife. So on top of the curse, guess what? He saw a wife. On top of your blessing, you haven't seen a husband. The next thing the Bible recorded that he went and built a city. On top of your blessing, you have not built a bacha. Are you still with me, somebody? This man was walking away from a curse. Rejected the curse God gave him. Say it's too much. And then God pitied him. Now you would have thought I would have taken another 5 years or 10 years to be going through the fact that Kai, and so I kill person. So with this my hand now, I kill my own brother. And be going over and over the mistake of his life. Cain walked away. He got a wife. He married. He walked away. The man they say was going to be a fugitive and a vagabond. He got land. He didn't build a house. He didn't build an estate. He built a city. Can I prophesy over somebody? Curse or no curse, God, you will break through. I said you will take flight. You will take flight. Pastor, are you saying curses are not? No, curses are real. Curses are real. But guess what? The mercy of God is upon you. The forgiveness of God is upon you. The blessing rests upon you. And because it rests upon you, no curse will stop you. No curse will stop you. I'm not hearing amen this morning. Please understand that greatness is not a gift. Give my slides. Talent may be a gift. But for you to attain greatness, you must work on it. Greatness is always worked out. Worked out. Work is involved in greatness. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings me to the question, who is an high flyer? I'm going to leave that one. Let me just mention only one out of everything I want to say for time's sake. Who is an high flyer? Ladies and gentlemen, an high flyer is a mighty warrior, is a destiny warrior, is a man who has fought battles and subdued them. Are you still with me, somebody? Answer me, are you still with me, somebody? Now, I came to realize that a high flyer is someone who has built organizations or a large business, a large ministry, somebody who has done something significant in life. That's a high flyer. And you know the truth about life? Ladies and gentlemen, I came to realize if you don't do something great, life will never count you as great. If you don't do something great, life will never count you as great. Have you realized that life has no reward or has no award for potential? Anybody realize that? I have the ability to become the best businessman in Enugu. Life will not reward you. Life will never reward you for it. Have you realized that life has no award for intentions? Good intention. Okay, there were 10 birds hanging by the window. 5 of them said in their mind, I'm going to fly to the tree. How many birds are left in the window? But 5 said they are going to fly to the window. Or fly to the tree. How many birds are left in the window? Somebody over there say 5 is correct. Because many people think that intention amounts to action. Are you still there, somebody? But that's not true. There are still 10 birds left in the window, not 5. Because no matter how much... Now, let me tell you the most sad part of it. You are a great fan of Chelsea. You paid your flight all the way to Stamford Bridge to watch Chelsea beat Arsenal. Amen? I said amen. Any blues in the house? And guess what? Now they are giving award to Chelsea. How many of you have ever seen them give award to the spectators who came to watch the match? That's why in life, you will never be a spectator. You will never be one who escorted somebody. You must play in the field of life. There will never, I don't care how much of a fan you are, as long as you are on the flanks, as long as you are a spectator, until you participate and do something great, life will never reward you. I prophesy over you, you will play in the field of life. I said you will play in the field of life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Gentlemen, it takes a certain kind of mindset for you to become great in life. It takes a certain kind of mindset to do great things, build a great business, become a successful man or politician or whatever. It takes a certain kind of mindset. That's why the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 11 about the story of a gentleman called Nimrod. The Bible said, it came to pass in those days the whole earth was of one language. And this gentleman, I don't have time to speak much about him because my sermon is coming up. The Bible said this man woke up and said, God said we should scatter all over the world and multiply. So I don't want to do that. The Bible said he gathered men together and said, let us build a tower that will reach heaven. Somebody say tower. Now please understand that this man was speaking about building a skyscraper in a time where there was no hydraulic engineering. There were no, what you call today, Pastor Bidemi, stanchions. Is this stanchion? There were no stanchions, metal rods. At a time when there was no crane, this man started to build a skyscraper. And you would have thought that God would have looked and said, foolish man, let's see how far you can go. No. The Bible says it came to pass that God looked down and said, this thing this man has imagined and he started doing now, if we don't stop him, what will happen? He will accomplish it. God was speaking to a man whose agenda was different from God's agenda. Yet, because of what God knew he put on the inside of man, God knew if he doesn't stop this guy, he will succeed. Gentlemen, this guy was doing a project contrary to God's agenda. But there was a mindset he had. God said, there's nothing he has imagined he cannot accomplish. I want to prophesy to somebody. Put your hand on your chest. I don't know what you have imagined. And your own imagination is even in line with kingdom. It's in line with the good of humanity and the good of kingdom. I prophesy to you, every dream, every vision of your heart, none of them will be stopped in the name of Jesus. Nothing will stop them from coming to pass in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a better amen from somebody? Amen. Are you aware, gentlemen, that till tomorrow, those great pyramids of Egypt, nobody has been able to replicate them? With all the technology of today, with all the science, the development in science and AI today, are you aware they are still investigating how those people in Egypt, how the Jews built that thing in Egypt? It's a mystery to science till tomorrow. I know last regime, some people tried to do something like that inside Abuja with rice. We are still looking for that rice now. Am I correct? If that rice was around, we would not be crying now. Obi, am I correct? did one funny thing, like they call it pyramid, the rice pyramid. Where is the rice pyramid? As that meeting ended, the rice pyramid disappeared. Ladies and gentlemen, 10 minutes to go. Let me speak this morning about the mindset. I'm going to speak about three mindsets of those who are high flyers. And in this first service, I'll be speaking on the mindset of the special one. Second service, I'll speak on the mindset of doing what works. Doing what works. And on Wednesday, I'm not going to tell you what I want to speak about. It's so important. That's why I want you to be here. But let me speak this morning about the mindset of the special one. Everybody say special one. Come on, everybody say special one. Now, you and I know there's only one special one in the world of football. His name is called Jose Mourinho. That man never won any cup, never won any title in the course of his football career. There's nothing significant about when he was a footballer. He woke up one day and said, I'm the special one as a coach. And when he started, everybody laughed at him, but today everybody believes him, true or false? Please answer me, true or false? He never, in his own career as a footballer, there was nothing too much about him. But once he woke up as a coach, he said, I'm the special one. They doubted him the first time until they saw him bring trophy upon trophy. And it became clear to people that any team that he was the coach or technical director, he always brought a trophy home. And everybody agreed with him eventually that he was a special one. But ladies and gentlemen, are you aware that you are a special one? Please answer me, are you aware of that? Time will fail me to tell you that all through scripture, there were people who made it because of this one mindset. One mindset. What's the mindset? I'm a special one. Take a look at Joseph, everybody. From the time he was a young child, he started having these funny dreams. And from those dreams, he just knew that there was something different. He knew that his generation will bow to him. Can I prophesy to somebody? Your generation will bow to you. I said your generation will bow to you. By the time he started speaking of these dreams, the father looked at him and said, no, let me give you a coat of many colors because there's something special about you. And they crowned him with the coat of many colors. The rest is history, like they say, ladies and gentlemen. Once he realized he was a special one, you know the first thing he did? You would have thought that with all those dreams, he would become arrogant and cocky. Joseph set out on a mission to serve every other person at home. Why? He knew the way up was down. So you will notice he began to serve. And it was in the course of serving his brother's food that they captured him and put him in the pit and eventually sold him as a slave. True or false? Answer me, true or false? Got to Potiphar's house, he started serving also. Served until he outserved everybody. They made him the chief servant. Got to the prison, he started serving again. Served until they had no option. They had to make him the head of the prison. That man served so much that by the day Pharaoh had a dream, and they were looking for who is going to serve the revelation of this dream. The butler said, I am a stupid man. I remember now one guy when I was in prison 2 years ago. That guy served so much that the warders had no choice but to make him the head of the prisoners. And that guy was not just serving us food. He was serving our dreams. He will interpret them. He will minister to the moody. He will speak to the comfort. And that's how he was serving. They called him. Ladies and gentlemen, the rest is history. Why did Joseph make it to the top? Because he believed he was a special one. Are you still there, somebody? Talk to him. Are you still there, somebody? Are you aware that when Moses was born, the Bible said they called him a proper child? The reason they did not kill him like others was that he was a proper child. What do you mean proper child? He was a special child. Other children that were three years downwards, were being slaughtered. Are you still there, somebody? In fact, in his generation, he had no age mates because every other male child born at his time was slaughtered apart from him. When the parents saw he was a special child, they said, no, we're not going to kill this child. They set him apart and the rest is history. Are you still with me, somebody? Talk to him. Are you still with me, somebody? What will I say, ladies and gentlemen, about the man called David, born out of wedlock? This guy was so special, guys, that even though his own parents didn't think he was special, and when there was an election for a king, they brought everybody apart from him. The prophet came and said, we will not sit down, including you, who did not call him. You're not going to sit down in this house until that boy shows up. Everybody was standing, including the old man. David shows up, and the oil flowed on his head. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy, once he knew he was a special child, began to build his relationship with God. So when he's finished feeding all the animals in the wilderness, sits down under the tree, takes his tambourine. What he's doing is communicating with God. So much that at the end of his life, he had written more songs, we call Psalms today, than any other human being. Ladies and gentlemen, is it true or false? Please answer me, is it true or false? He will sing until heavens will open, and he will see revelations of the new covenant, which does not belong to his generation. He believed he was a special one. The rest of his regime, as a king, you saw it. Are you aware that Solomon knew he was a special one? Pastor, how do you know that? His own elder brother was killed by God at birth. Who remembers that? His mother is called Bathsheba. The first pregnancy she had with David, which was an illegal pregnancy, David begged God to spare the life of the child. God said, no. Even if you cry from now to tomorrow, I will kill him. Now, guess what? His elder brother was killed by God. The same God chose him to become the next king in Israel. Are you talking to me, somebody? Same God who killed his elder brother and said, I won't spare him. That same God said, you know what? Even though you are the least qualified, you are the child of an adulterous relationship. You are one who came out of a debt. Somebody had to die. Your father had to be slaughtered for this man to marry your mother. But in spite of that, I'm going to make you the king. No wonder he set up his mind to seek wisdom and for the rest of his life produce for us the greatest wisdom in the Bible called the book of Proverbs. I prophesy to somebody, by reason of the fact that you are a special one, you will produce stuff, products, ideas, ideology that no other person has ever released in your lifetime in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a better amen, somebody?
Amen.
Esther didn't know she was the special one until the day that the uncle called and said, do you know if you came into the palace for such a time as this? That was when it dawned on her she wasn't an ordinary girl, and that the deliverance of the entire nation was resting on her shoulder. Ladies and gentlemen, the rest is history. She set out on that mission and eventually saved Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. Everybody say special one. Say I'm the special one. If you don't have that mindset, if you don't go with that mindset, there's something unique about me. And when people look at you and say, you know what's special about you? See how short you are. Please, you should remind them that anybody who is taller than you are is too tall for your destiny. Anybody who is not as thin as you are is too fat for your purpose. Understand that there's something unique about your destiny, and that's why God made you the way you are, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. You don't owe anybody an apology. Can I hear an amen, somebody?
Yeah.
Alexander the Great was 20 plus when his father handed over the throne to him, and at that age there was a myth that there's something called the Gordon knot. That Gordon knot is like a screw. They say nobody can loosen that screw for a century, over 100 years. Nobody. Every king has tried. Why were they trying? Because the myth has it that if anybody who can loosen that screw will conquer the whole world. And Alexandria, 20 years plus, less than 21 years old, believed that it was the best thing that happened to Europe. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Do you know that guy sat up? Now, I don't have time to talk about him. That guy conquered India with how many billion people? Conquered some of the greatest nations in the world. He didn't just conquer, he conquered all over regions, all over. But guess what? Alexander went and tried to open that knot. It didn't open. First time, second time, third time. The guy looked up and said, what kind of rubbish is this? Everybody has been trying this thing. 100 years has passed. All my great-great-grandfathers. The guy just said, give me my sword. They give him his sword. Boah! It destroyed the whole thing. The knot jumped out. He said, have I not just opened it? And guess what? Everybody clapped for him. That man set out from that place and conquered the whole world. They said that there was a day he sat down in his palace and started crying. He said, there's no other world to conquer again. Because the whole world has surrendered to him. I prophesy to you, your generation will surrender to you. I said, your generation will surrender to you. Can you shout a living amen?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, because I have 1 minute to go, let me go straight to, why do you need to see yourself as a special one? Why is it important that you understand that you are a special one, that you see yourself as one, number one? Please fast track my thread. Okay, you're already there. Thank you for being there. Why is it important that you go with this mindset, I'm a special one, number one? Every time you understand you are a special one, you become restless with smallness. You become restless. You can't settle for anything small. No, everybody is celebrating and clapping for you, but something in your mind is fighting and rebelling. I'm more than this. This is not where I belong. Listen to this. I shared this story before and I will say it again. My eldest brother, one of my eldest brother, that guy set out in school and there was no argument. He was the most brilliant human being in my family. It was a gift God gave him. My other brother just looks at what the lecturer is saying. Doesn't need to read for exam. Where the lecturer laughs, he laughs. Where he cough, he cough. Where he drank water, we drink water. He goes to the exam. We give the lecturer everything he said, plus the one he also read in the textbook, and hand over everything. He came out to the first class, clean first class, without argument. When I saw him growing up as a younger child, I said to myself, I said, this guy is the one that will settle this family because of how intelligent he was. Then he graduated first class and went straight to Lagos. And I thought he was in Lagos until I went to visit. And I discovered that somewhere in the outskirts of Lagos was where he had settled down. All his colleagues and neighbors were vulcanizers, mechanic, bricklayer. Are you still there? I'm watching my brother with a first class and I'm saying, no. What happened to Ikeja? What happened to VI? What happened to Lekki? And then I watched him. Then he started teaching in one school and he was very excited. One primary school to another primary school, secondary school to another secondary school to another secondary school. And I'm watching my brother with all that intelligence. I'm like, why are you wasting this thing here? Then eventually bought one Danfo and we finished teaching in the morning and do Danfo in the afternoon. And I'm like, what's going on here? Cut a long story short, by the time my brother was retiring, when they made him vice principal, oh, it was the biggest testimony in our family. Then eventually became principal. And by the time he retired as a principal, everybody was celebrating. I traveled for his retirement party. But while everybody was celebrating, I was crying because this man, if I have his intelligence, I'll be the president of Nigeria by now. Is anybody hearing me? I'm talking of a guy who is so super intelligent that he never failed. I don't know if he ever made a B in any course. Why? Everybody say mindset. When you have this mindset, smallness will irritate you. Come on, is anybody hearing me? Others will be clapping, you'll be crying. Why are you crying? Because what you are saying is bigger than what they are saying. May you not die small. May you not die small. I pray that everywhere you show up in this life, may smallness irritate you. I said, may smallness irritate you. When you have this mindset, ladies and gentlemen, your assignment becomes your calling. You don't see your assignment as one of those things. You see it as a ladder to where you're going to in life. You take it with all seriousness. May that be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number three, when you have the mindset of a special one, it releases destiny potential that is buried on your inside. Releases destiny potential. Everything on your inside start crying out. Because, you see, it may look like a little thing, but something in you is crying out for expression. Reaching out for something bigger than where you are right now. Put your hand in your stomach. I prophesy over you. May every destiny potential locked up on your inside be released in the name of Jesus. I said be released in the name of Jesus. Be released in the name of Jesus. When you have the mindset of a special one, you are bold in tapping the supernatural. Supernatural support. You know that you can't make it by yourself. Something in you is crying and say, by my strength, I can't make it. You are believing God. You are groaning on your inside. You are crying for God to help you. Every time you have this mindset, ladies and gentlemen, you reach out for supernatural support. And I pray for you. May you get that support in the name of Jesus. May you get that support in the name of Jesus. For the last time, may you get that support in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Finally, what is it that makes you special? What is it about you? Is it your looks? Is it your haircut? Is it your height? Is it your certification? What is that one thing that makes you special that you should have the mindset of the special one? Please understand. What the first thing that makes you special is that grace is at work in your life. Somebody say grace. I can't hear you say grace. Let me tell you how Paul puts it. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, but don't be deceived. that grace made me automatically. He said, but I did not receive that grace in vain. He said, when I realized and I perceived that it is grace that will help me, he said, I labored more than everyone more abundantly because of that grace that was at work in me. But Paul realized, no matter how great I am, is because of the grace of God that was at work in me. Can I prophesy to somebody? Grace on your inside will make you stand out in the name of Jesus. I said it will make you stand out in the name of Jesus. Two things you will always have in mind every time you speak about the grace on your inside. Number one is called unmerited. In other words, God will, yes, there is a place, and I've emphasized from day one, I said, greatness is not a gift. Greatness is something you must work out. But please understand, that no matter what you work out, it's still a function of the grace of God. Am I correct, somebody? So two things must always be at the back of your mind. God is not depending on your merit. It's depending on his mercy. So number one, think about, every time you talk about, speak about the grace of God, think about number one, unmerited. Unmerited. I don't deserve it, but God gave it to me. The second thing you must think about, ladies and gentlemen, is redemptive. Grace is redemptive. Grace is redemptive. Somebody say redemptive. I can't hear you say redemptive. Pastor, what does that mean? That means even when you fall out, God still turns it around for your good. Even your mistakes, God redeems them. He takes the same mistake, turns it around, and makes it to become a pedal or a ladder to your destiny. Can I prophesy over somebody? Everywhere you made a mistake, may God cause it to be redeemed in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you. I say, may God cause it to be redemptive in the name of Jesus. Number two, always realize that the thing that makes you special is that the blessing of the Lord is upon your life. The blessing of the Lord is upon your life. The blessing of the Lord is upon your life. Are you still with me, somebody? Please answer me. Are you still with me, somebody? That's how God will look at a 75-year-old man that everybody has written off. This man is not just 75. He's still living with his father. He doesn't have a child at 75. And God was looking for who to do business with to save the whole of humanity. And it was Abraham that he found. 75, no serious job. History has it, he was still selling in his father's idol shop, selling idol. Still living in his father's house. Married with no child. If I am God, I think I know better who to work with. Are you still there? But as the man God said and said, I will bless you. I will make you great. I will do this for you. Your children will be blessed, and through you, the whole earth will be blessed. That's not a good person to work with. But when the blessing is upon you, it changes everything. Can I prophesy over somebody? I don't care how late it looks like. I don't care how many mistakes you have made. But by the blessings of God upon your life, I declare you'll be a special one. I said you'll be a special one. In the mighty name of Jesus. The fourth thing you should always know that makes you special is that you can traffic in multiple realms. You can traffic in multiple realms. You can traffic this way. When they want intellectual, you can show up. They want physical, you are still there. And guess what? When every other thing has failed, you can turn around. And by the time you open your mouth and begin to speak in tongues, everything changes for you. You can traffic in several realms. The people of the world can traffic in intellectualism. They can traffic in science. They can traffic in technology. And you too can traffic in that realm. But when push comes to shove, you know when to release your special weapons. Am I correct, somebody? And when you engage the midnight prayers and you begin to pray, everything changes for you. I prophesy over you. May you traffic in that realm in the name of Jesus. The fourth thing that happens that makes you very special is that you don't fight destiny battles alone. You don't fight destiny battles alone. Everything is in support of you. Angels are in support of you. Guess what? Even nature is in support of you. Are you hearing me, somebody? The grass behind your house will begin to fight against them. The food that they eat, we fight against them. Everything begins to contend for you. Why? Because every time you walk as a special one, please understand what makes you special is that you don't fight alone. Are you still with me, somebody? Answer me, are you still with me, somebody? You never fight alone. That's why when Moses confronted the Pharaoh, even stones, hailstones were fighting for him. Frogs were fighting for him. Everything rebelled against Pharaoh. Why? Because when you are walking as a special one, you are not alone. I prophesy to somebody, to everyone that wants to contend and fight against you, may nature fight against them in the name of Jesus. May the wind contend against them. The rain contend against them. May everything around your life contend against them in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a better amen? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I shared this in the midweek service, and I want to close with it. Somebody say special one. Shout it, say special one. Listen to this. I close with this. I was sharing on Wednesday. I said, it's a true story I had many years ago about an eagle that was putting, that gave birth to the eggs. And then while it was giving birth to the eggs and left for food, one of those eggs was blown by the wind and came down the valley and ended up close to where a particular chicken and his, sorry, a particular chicken or bird, chicken and his children were. That thing slid down there and the chicken looked at it. The egg looked different, but egg is egg. He hatched the egg. The eagle was born and became a part of the chicken, eats their food, does what they do, and so on and so forth. But that particular eagle started, or eagle started growing up, and then he realized that anytime an eagle was flying by, something in him is saying, that's where you belong. That's where you belong. That's where you belong. He pushed it away because he looked at all his brothers and sisters. All of them are down here. None of them has ever lifted their wings before to fly. So what are you talking about? He continued eating with them. Anytime an eagle is passing, he will look up and say, I don't belong here. I belong there. Have you ever driven before somebody? You are in a bus. And as you are driving past somewhere in Lekki or somewhere in Independence Layout, and there's a car that passes, you look at it and say, that's the kind of car I should be driving. Anybody like that? There's a house you pass and you say, no, I know that this house, this Obiagu face me and face you I'm living in. I know that this is not where I belong. One day, you see this house in Independence Layout, I will build a modern version of it. Is anybody who has had that kind of feeling before? Every time an eagle is passing, he said, that's where I belong. Ladies and gentlemen, one day, please listen to this. One day, another eagle was passing. This eaglet, who looks like a chicken, looked up and began to cry. And that eagle heard the sound. And still remember that cry is the cry that connects with some umbilical cord, because that was the baby that was the missing egg some years ago. The eagle flew down, looked at the little thing, and started flapping his wings. Started doing like this, as an eagle flutters her wings. That's our first reading. Flutters her wings. Takes up a young. Guess what? He said, doing like this. Doing like this. This eaglet look up and said, do you mean I can fly also? Can I also fly? But all the people around me, nobody's flying. Everybody's contented with the ground. Everybody's eating rubbish in the ground. Cut a long story short. This eaglet managed to climb a little rock. Not too high in case it falls down. At least it's a safe distance where we not die. He climbed a little high rock, different from where the chickens were. Look, the mother is still doing like this. Stretch your wings. You can fly. You too can fly. And he stretched his wings, lifted off the rock, and discovered the wings were flapping, and he was gaining height, and he was gaining speed. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. Somewhere on your inside, there's been a cry. I don't belong here. This is not where I was born for. I'm bigger than this. I'm greater than this. My destiny is more precious than this. My future is more glorious than this. I am too big to die small like this. I came to prophesy over you. Can you rise on your feet? Listen, in the name that is above every other name, you will take your flight. You will spread your wings. And you will not remain in this dimension. I prophesy over you, your days of ordinariness, they end this morning in the name of Jesus. Your days of smallness are over in the name of Jesus. By the power in the name that is above every other name, I declare you will fly. I said you will fly. You will stretch your wings and you will gain altitude and you will become that woman and that man God has ordained for you in the name of Jesus. I prophesy over you by covenant, you will not die small. I said you will not die small. You will not die small. In the mighty name of Jesus. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. I want you to put your two hands on your head and I want you to begin to prophesy over yourself. I receive the mindset of a special one. I refuse. This is the last day I will call myself an ordinary man. I will call myself a we common men are suffering. I will never use that word for me again. I'm a special one. Something about my destiny is special. About my future is special. About my life is different. I refuse to die small. Sebede ko sadabarata jelebrende ko sitebede nem prosete vide gasia Hallelujah. Rabakashila metabida kosa. Nemilo salibonderiata. Jabalo sepede. Nimbo satelo akiasha. Rabokosele bikalimando bakosapa. Radamakasila mintebidi kose. Bregi selimonde bashili bariata. In Jesus mighty name we pray. Keep those hands on your head as I pray this prayer over you. You know, when Joseph set out on that journey, knowing that one day this world will bow to him, the Bible said it came to pass that Mrs. Potiphar pressed him and said, lie with me. Joseph looked at her and said, if only you know that I'm a special one. If only you know that there's something unique waiting for me in the future. If only you know my generation is about to bow to me, including you and your husband. If I sleep with you now, how will you and your husband bow for me tomorrow? And guess what? Joseph carried on. And even when he went to prison, he knew that it will all work together for his good. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. Even the accusation will work together for your good. Every lie that was told against you will take you to the palace. Everyone that abandoned you and forgot you will even bring you closer to the palace. Can I prophesy to somebody? No Mrs. Potiphar will bring you down. No man will stop your flight. Those who put you in the pit thinking you will die in the pit, I prophesy over you, it's not long from now, you will pay their school fees. I said you will pay their school fees. You will be the one to give them accommodation in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Put those two hands on your chest. I prophesy over you, you will not die with your dream. You will not die with your vision. I pray that everything God has spoken to you at the back of time, guess what? Everyone will come to pass in the name of Jesus. From this day forward, you are not ordinary. You are not a common man. You are no longer amongst the common people in Nigeria. You are a special one. That is your name from today forward. And I so consecrate you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Give him praise in the house.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.